HOU File, the Ultimate Texans Podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome to another edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you for being here. Week one in the National Football League is in the books. We now get a chance to look back at week one and also start to preview week two. We will do so by checking in on the team, figuring out the very latest injuries, expectations, the highs and lows of week one. Then we'll go around the NFL. We'll do that with the NFL Network's Brian Billick. And then in overtime this week, speaking of the NFL Network, one of the newest faces there on the NFL Network, Mike Garofolo, will join me for overtime, a six-pack of questions. It all gets started right now on the NFL Files.
The Big Interview.
Time to talk Houston Texans, and to do that, we head to Houston, ABC 13 in Houston. Bob Slovac, our guest. You find him on Twitter at BobSlovac13. Bob, let's start here. Everything in the NFL seems to start and end with the quarterback, so give me your assessment of Brock Osweiler's first regular season game for the Texans.
You know what? He got a passing grade for sure. He started a little bit slow, threw an interception. That really wasn't his fault. It was a good play, but you know, he came on and he, as they say, he managed the game, and he had a nice connection with Will Fuller. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is the main man, but they were doing a good job covering him up. And so Osweiler started going to Fuller, a nice connection there with the rookie, and Osweiler played very, very well. Everybody here in Houston, very fired up about his debut with the Texans.
And I think, Bob, part of that, at least some of the narrative I've seen reading some stuff out of Houston and even just hearing some of the national folks talk, is the narrative has been those two connected. Will Fuller having a big game. Everybody knows about DeAndre Hopkins. There were high expectations on Fuller. Let me ask you this. Was it a bad Bears defense and that allowed Fuller to shine a little bit? Or do you think this is something we're going to see consistently out of the rookie?
I think we're going to see it out of the rookie, because what was happening was is that Hopkins is going to get so much attention, and that was one of the reasons they drafted Will Fuller, is they wanted somebody with some speed that could get open in space, and that's what exactly what he was doing yesterday. And Hopkins was getting that double coverage, and that's the whole Texans game plan right there, is if they're going to roll the coverage towards Hopkins, we're going to have somebody on the other side that can get open. And what we saw yesterday, when he caught the ball, it was those yards after the catch that really made a difference. So, yeah, everybody here believes we're going to see this on a weekly basis. Granted, he is a rookie. He did drop his first pass, and that was a knock on him when he came in, that he didn't have the greatest hands at Notre Dame. But he dropped that first pass, and then after that, he just went gangbusters. So maybe he learned a little bit from that first drop, but that was the only knock on it. But everybody here thinks we're going to see more of this season.
Bob, sticking with the offense here for a minute, what you saw out of Lamar Miller, obviously that was a big deal. This team wants that running game. They wanted to be able to help take some of the pressure off of Osweiler, maybe not necessarily to get back to, you know, a stellar peak performance out of Arian Foster, but you got to have a strong rushing game. It's very clear why Houston went after Lamar Miller, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and he has that burst of speed, too. Now, he kind of had a workman-like day against the Bears yesterday. Had over 100 yards, but he had over 20 carries. I don't know if he's a 20-carry, 25-carry game back, but he had a workman-like day and got the 100 yards. What I was pleased to see, and I think most people were yesterday, was that the Texans offensive line was giving him room to run. That was one of the question marks yesterday, because Duane Brown is still out. They had other injuries during training camp. But the offensive line did give Lamar Miller some room to run, and he can hit that hole very, very fast, as we saw yesterday. So a nice compliment to the offense. And as you said, he'll take a little bit of the pressure off of Osweiler if he can continue to find those holes.
I know it's only one game into the season, but we certainly saw this in training camp and in the preseason, Bob. After years of having someone, you know, like Owen Daniels or anybody else, is there any concern that there isn't a real stud tight end on this team?
That has been one of the big questions here, and there's not. We had the rookie Steven Anderson kind of step up and then kind of make a name for himself in the preseason, but you know, Ryan Griffin didn't really, and Fedorowicz is still there. That's a concern, but it's like they're kind of spreading it out amongst the receivers. Well, one thing that stood out to me that we didn't see a lot of yesterday is Braxton Miller. He only caught one ball yesterday. I expect we're going to see more of him because in the preseason, they were putting him in the slot a lot, you know, and running him inside. You know, that kind of takes the place of the tight end a lot. But to answer your question, is there concern about not having that big tight end? I believe there is, but I think they think they have the pieces to work around it. We will see.
On the defensive side of things, before we get to the overall performance, let's start with the medical report. And we know that Brian Cushing sprained that MCL out for 6 weeks, 4 weeks. And I guess it kind of depends on which doctors you talk to. But, you know, how much of a concern is that, or do they believe they've got enough depth that they're okay?
I believe they have enough depth. We talked to Bill O'Brien today about that. He named off every, you know, backup linebacker on the team and said they're all going to play. Are they Brian Cushing? No. Cushing was really getting back to the Cushing of old. It's a shame that he got hurt again. Do they have enough depth? I will answer that with a yes. They believe they do. We'll see. They had some plays yesterday, and McKinney made some plays. Simon's in there. Peters is in there. These are names that are not household names.
Right.
But they believe they can fill the gap until Cushing gets back.
How good of a feeling was it for you and for Texans fans to see both J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney out there on the field at the same time wreaking havoc?
They were wreaking havoc yesterday, and they both finished the game healthy, which was great to see because everybody's always wondering, when's Clowney going to get hurt again? Hey, he played pretty well. I mean, that's the thing about Jadeveon. When he plays, he's really, really good. Hopefully he's going to stay on the field. And Bill O'Brien today couldn't say more good things about how well J.J. played. He goes, it's unbelievable. The guy had back surgery at the end of July. Here he is playing in the season opener. He thought J.J. did great, and he's only going to get better. And, you know, everybody's sitting there looking at the stat line for J.J., one tackle, three quarterback hits, which is subpar for J.J., but he was still in there, you know, making his presence known the whole game. So, and of course, he's only going to get better as that back gets better. Yeah. But yeah, the fans were really fired up. Anytime JJ's in a game, you can feel the excitement and, you know, the atmosphere change. So it was really cool at the stadium yesterday when J.J. came running out on the field with the American flag. It was a pretty good moment.
So, Bob, a good start to the season for Houston with two back-to-back home games. And so, obviously, the W is in the books now against the Bears. Now the Chiefs come in. And, you know, the Chiefs just completed a massive comeback against San Diego. So as you prepare for week two and prepare for the Chiefs, what's something that maybe you did or didn't see in week one that you're going to be looking for in week two?
From the Texans, you know what? What would you like to see? I'd like to see Hopkins get more involved, and of course that has to do with the coverage. We'll see what happens there. A quicker start. I mean, that's what really caught me off guard yesterday. It's like we're watching the game, and the Bears drove right down the field on Texans defense. We're like, oh man, what is up with this? A quicker start, and that's something Bill O'Brien has harped on too, the entire training camp. We got to start quickly as a defense. We can't get in a hole. We can't put our offense in a hole. So yeah, they need a quicker start, and he knows Andy Reid's going to bring his team in here, you know, prepared. So, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, Bill O'Brien likes to say every year is different, but believe me, there's a revenge factor going to be played in this game because they got creamed in that playoff game by the Chiefs. J.J. got hurt. So, yeah, it's going to add a little bit more to this game next Sunday.
Great stuff. Talking Texans from ABC 13 in Houston. You find him on Twitter at BobSlovak13. It is Bob joining us here on the podcast. Bob, appreciate the insight into the Texans. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thank you.
Great stuff with Bob. The coach, Brian Billick, coming up next.
Around the league.
It is time for us to go around the NFL, and we do that each week with the coach, Brian Billick. You find him on Twitter at Coach Billick, and as he is each week. He's brought to us by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got the SeatGeek app on your mobile device or that you're visiting SeatGeek.com. Make sure you, your family, your friends are always getting the best deal on tickets, and you do that with the SeatGeek app. Coach, let's start here with the Monday night game. A lot of people surprised not only for Jared Goff not to start, but not even active. I know I'm asking you to speculate, but why do you believe the number one overall pick is not out there for the Rams, given how inept their offense looked overall?
Well, you can only assume that Jeff Fisher doesn't think he's ready. I mean, let's go back to Jeff's history. When they drafted Steve McNair back in the 90s, he didn't actually start until his third season. They carried him along, felt like they needed to nurture him. They had two losing seasons leading up to that, and then he finally found his way into the starting lineup. If Jared Goff is not better than Case Keenum, they got a real problem, because obviously they were betting on playing great defense, running the ball, which they didn't last night. Todd Gurley only had 47 yards in 17 carries. And Case Keenum, maybe you can play that formula where he was only 17-35, but he had two interceptions. If you're going to play that play great defense, run the ball formula, you got to run the ball and can't turn it over. So if they're not going to play a lot better than that, you got to put Jared Goff in just to get the experience.
Coach, is the Niners' defense improved, or was this just a matter of the Rams being that bad?
Well, we're going to find out. We don't know, because the Rams' offense was basically so inept. We're going to have to see how it pans out. It's likely they're a little bit better than we all thought they were going to be, but their roster, when you look at it, you have some question marks. Notwithstanding even the offensive side, obviously what Chip Kelly's doing, they have a lot of confidence. They obviously look pretty good. But we're going to find out, particularly this week, when they're going to play the Seattle Seahawks. We're going to find out more about L.A. and the fact that they play the Seattle Seahawks. In terms of San Francisco 49ers, the next step for them, obviously, is to, can they indeed go on the road? And it's a tall task, because they're going across the country to the Carolina Panthers. Now you're going to see a legitimate run offense. You're going to see maybe the best quarterback or the best athlete in the game in Cam Newton, and a very, very good Carolina defense. So it's going to be a test for the 49ers. They go across the country and put that kind of performance together against Carolina, then we're all going to say, nope, we were all kind of wrong. This team's pretty good.
For some people, looking at the AFC, the Steelers were a bit of a sleeper pick for some experts, Coach. Did you see that out of them in their Monday night contest against Washington? Could they contend in the AFC?
Well, I've on record, I had Pittsburgh down as my Super Bowl team. I think they could be, if, and this is a huge if they can stay healthy. And that's the key. And we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, obviously Antonio Brown. That offensive line, which is healthy and looks spectacular. Le'Veon Bell's not there, but D'Angelo Williams, let's remember last year he cranked off 127 yards in the opener as well. So D'Angelo Williams is a good, physical, Pittsburgh Steeler type of runner that they got to love doing, seeing what he's doing for them. And defensively, I think they're improved. They're healthy, although you see Ryan Shazier may be hurt. I go back to the injury situation. Of course, that's true of any team. But they were obviously spectacular. Washington's suspect on defense. But I still feel like Pittsburgh is the team to beat in the AFC. They too. Okay, now you got to follow up with it, because you've got a Cincinnati team coming into town that looked pretty good in its open.
When we look at the AFC, Coach, and you know this as well as anyone, you can't bet against Bill Belichick. There were those that said if the Patriots could go through their first four games without Tom Brady and be 2-2, that everybody would be happy. But based on how they performed against Arizona, is it out of the realm of possibilities that they might be 3-1 or even 4-0 by the time Brady comes back?
Yeah, and I was one of them on our show, Game Day First, for the NFL Network. We were talking about it, and I believe all of us picked Arizona to win, and to a man, we said, but we're nervous about it, because anytime you pick against the Patriots and Belichick, and particularly a Brady-less Belichick, you have a little bit of confidence. They come back and bite you every time. So, no, this bodes well for them. For them, they don't look at it that way, and he's the master at one game at a time. They got Miami coming to town, so it's a divisional game, which is important for them. But I'd be surprised if anybody picks the Patriots to lose to Miami at home.
Speaking of Miami, they went on the road in really just a defensive slugfest there against Seattle. What did you see out of the Dolphins? And also, Coach, what did you see out of Seattle?
Well, and that I was impressed with that. I mean, that's a tough place to go. We talked last week about the value I put on the ability to go on the road and win, particularly in an opener, and particularly when you're talking about Miami going to Seattle. They'd been better off going to London. It would be an easier trip for them. That's a tough slot. The defense was impressive. I think it was an example of Russell Wilson this year. I think it's going to have to be finally a 500-plus throw quarterback. He's been under that his first few years because they haven't had to do more than that. Play great defense, run the ball. Not that they're not going to continue to play great defense. They ran the ball okay, but Russell Wilson threw the ball 43 times. And I think we're going to see more of that this year because they're going to need for him to throw the ball in order to get the win.
We know it was against the Cleveland Browns, but at the same time, Carson Wentz came out, a guy that just a few weeks ago, Coach, wasn't even expected to start because Sam Bradford was there, and he wound up with 278 yards, a couple of touchdowns. What did you think of the rookie's performance?
Yeah, very impressive. I mean, particularly for a rookie, you just want to see, are they overwhelmed? Do they look like they can function? And both he and Dak Prescott played very, very well. It was interesting to watch them. It was the same game plan. Both opened up with a lot of boots and outside the pocket, to settle them down, make it an easy read, and then eventually evolved where they had to throw more from the pocket. Now, and it's good for their development. I don't know that you want a rookie throwing the ball 37 times a game like Wentz did or 45 times like Dak Prescott. But from a development standpoint, because that puts them on a 600-throw season, which would be great for their development as a quarterback, but in terms of winning games and that profile, that would be a steep curve for these rookies. But I tell you what, they looked like they were up to it. Where you saw it was down on third down. Both struggled a little bit in third down in those critical areas. Although Carson Wentz in the red zone looked pretty good. You had to be pleased, even though, of course, Dallas lost. You had to be pleased, both teams, with the starts of their rookies, Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz.
Kansas City Chiefs pull off the biggest comeback for them in 56 years with their franchise. Is this a legit AFC West contender? I would assume so, based on what we've seen out of Andy Reid and Alex Smith managing the game.
Oh, absolutely. And it was who didn't play for them that's significant, that they all but at home could come back that way. That'll give them a lot of confidence. Now, obviously, Denver looks to be very solid. Huge win by the Oakland Raiders in New Orleans. They're going to be a factor as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think this is going to be a very tight division, but certainly that bodes well for Kansas City. If nothing else, give them the confidence to know, yeah, even without Jamal Charles and some of the other players we didn't have there, we're a pretty good football team.
You just brought up the Raiders, and it's been an interesting conversation in looking at Oakland, because there were those that have criticized their opening game, saying, well, wait, this was supposed to be a team that was extremely strong on defense, and here they gave up 34 points. But the counter to that, Coach, is, well, just about everybody gives up at least 30 points facing Drew Brees.
Yeah, if you're going to dismiss anybody, everybody that gives up a lot of points and a lot of yards, Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints, at home in that dome, you can check off pretty much the entire league. This guy's pretty good. I was very impressed with Oakland's ability to go on the road in one of the toughest places to play of all football, particularly in the opener, and to do it in the way they did, to come back the way they did, to go for it on two-point conversion twice and to get it. That bodes very well for that team, resiliency on that team. And, yeah, certainly some things, the big plays they're going to have to cut down on. I know that was disappointing for Ken Norton Jr. and his defense, but they're not the Lone Ranger in that regard when it comes to New Orleans Saints. New Orleans Saints defense continues. They're going to have a tough time this year because Drew Brees and Sean Payton know once again they got to score a minimum of 30 points a game or they got no chance.
Takes a lot of guts to do what Coach Jack Del Rio did at the end of the game. Coach, do you think you could have done the same thing if you were coaching?
Well, I've told in a lot of interviews that I'm doing talk about, you typically, particularly going on the road, you'll get with the staff and say, okay, guys, what's our mentality going to be at the end of the game? We've got to go for two. I mean, you put that down specifically at what do you guys think? It's different at home than it is possibly on the road. and go through the mindset of Jack Del Rio. Okay, I'm going to take a 50-50 chance of getting a two-point play, or what are my odds if I go into overtime in New Orleans on the road that late in the game against that crowd, and, oh, by the way, against the Hall of Famer like Drew Brees? I kind of like my odds with the two-point play rather than putting it in Drew Brees' hands.
He's the coach, Brian Billick. We say it every week. If you spend 10, 15 minutes with the coach, you're a smarter football fan. He's brought to us every week here on the NFL Files podcast by SeatGeek. Make sure you've downloaded the SeatGeek app or visited SeatGeek.com. It's a great way for you to make sure if you're getting tickets to a sporting event or a concert that you're getting the absolute best deal for you and your friends. That's the SeatGeek app. Coach, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
Overtime.
For Overtime on the NFL Files, Mike Garofolo from NFL Network. First of all, Mike, congratulations on making the jump to NFL Network. We've got a six-pack of questions for you, rapid-fire style. Let's start here. After seeing what happened with Jack Del Rio, are we going to see more coaches go for two?
I don't think so. I think a lot of them are still conservative by nature, and Jack Del Rio is a more forward-thinking coach and has been for a while, so it doesn't shock me that he's the guy, and you know, there is an old adage, you play for the win on the road, you play for the tie at home, so maybe the situation, you know, bared out for that one, and the momentum that they had at the time. I just don't see that being something that all of a sudden coaches are going to start doing, because the minute they fail, they're going to be called upon as bozos.
All right, question number two in the six-pack. For you, the biggest surprise of week one?
Probably the Detroit Lions. You know, I went up there and I heard all that positive talk about their offense and how they wouldn't miss Calvin Johnson, and everything I heard was that this offense actually, not that they'd be better off without Calvin Johnson, but for this offense, the way that they want to spread the ball around, nothing really runs through one person, so that they'd be able to kind of move that ball around. And you hear that and you go, yeah, but you're going to be without Calvin Johnson, so how is that possible? Well, you saw on display. Now, that's not the best defense they're going to face all year. It may be one of the worst, as a matter of fact. So they're going to have to continue to prove that. But to me, that was a surprise they were able to pull that one off.
All right, Mike, question number three. Does Larry Fitzgerald actually have a secret fountain of youth? And if so, how do you and I get some of it?
He is amazing. And it's all about how he takes care of his body and his dedication to the game. And it is up there with some of the greats of all time. And I don't know if this is going to be his last season. I think a lot of it's going to depend on what kind of success the Cardinals have and whether he thinks this team could you know, have more success a year from now. I don't think that decision's been made yet. I think it's a possibility, but at the very least, I think he could absolutely continue to play at a high level for beyond this season.
It's Overtime on the NFL Files. Mike Garofolo from NFL Network with me. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Garofolo. Mike, question number four, true or false, the Patriots will go 4-0 with Jimmy Garoppolo?
I'll go true. Yeah, just because they've got three more home games here, and then they catch Houston on a short week on the Thursday night game at home. So, I think it's a possibility, and sure, I'll ride with my somewhat similar namesake here.
There you go. All right, question number five for you. Based on what you saw in week one, who wins the NFC East?
I'm still going Redskins, just because I didn't expect anybody to run away with it. I still don't. I think that's a terrific team that they played. I'm not going to overreact to that one. I do think that there are holes on that roster. I think there's things that they need to patch up, but I'm not going to overreact to that one. There's going to be the opposite of overreaction Monday, even though it's beyond Monday, but it's going to be the opposite of that, because I still believe that they're going to be the team that winds up coming out on top.
Mike Garofolo with me. Last question for you in our six-pack. If you had the choice, and obviously the athletic ability as well, Mike, if you had the choice, would you rather catch a touchdown from your favorite quarterback or sack your most hated rival quarterback?
Probably the TD. Just because, you know, those guys, the skill position guys, get all the glory, and then you get to do well. I guess you can do a dance after the sack, but the end zone dances to me are always there's more options down there amongst the fans and the goalposts and all that stuff. I'd even draw a penalty for using something as a prop.
All right, bonus answer to this one, Mike. Who would that quarterback be for you? Who's your favorite? Who would you want to be on the receiving end of?
My favorite of all time, I grew up watching Randall Cunningham, so that would have to be my guy.
There you go. Mike Garofalo with us on Overtime on the NFL Files. Make sure you watch him now that he's on NFL Network. Again, congratulations, and follow him on Twitter at Mike Garofalo. Mike, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me.
You got it, Nate.
Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, appreciate his time. As I mentioned, just made the jump from Fox to NFL Network, and prior to that, he had been with USA Today, so definitely moving up the ladder when it comes to covering football. Appreciate your time joining me this week on this edition of the NFL Files. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week right here.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.